Good morning. New cases just this week of stores held up with customers inside. And we've all seen those videos, right? Some suspect walking into a convenience store, a coffee shop, a gas station, robbing the clerk at gunpoint. Then some customer comes from behind and attacks the suspect. It looks brave. We've reported on it right here. And it is. But is it really what you're supposed to do?
Our next guest, you can see him on the Today Show with his Rawson Reports. Go to today.com to see all his reports. On the phone with us is Jeff Rawson. Good to talk to you again, man. How are you?
Good to talk to you. How you been?
You know, I sent you an email last week because I was on the treadmill and I immediately thought of my wife who takes Uber everywhere. And you did a story on Uber. And before you talk about it, let me ask Violetta, who's on the show. Violetta.
Yes.
You take Uber.
Yes.
Now, when the Uber driver shows up, do you open the door and ask his name?
I don't ask his name, no. I ask if he knows my name, and then, you know, I make some chit-chat, but not really his name.
Okay, but you ask if he knows your name, or yeah. Do you say your name to him?
Sometimes, but my name's kind of complicated, so I'm just like, just get me where I'm going.
Jeff, I don't think a lot of people do this. You want to explain what the report was about?
We did a story about fake Uber drivers, about how these guys across the country, and police are putting out all these new alerts, about these guys who are showing up outside of bars and restaurants. They just park outside, and they especially, you know, they prey on women especially for sexual assault purposes. They wait until they've been drinking, in many cases, late into the night, and they just park outside of, you know, bars and restaurants. And people just come out and get into their cars thinking it's an Uber, and then they drive off and assault these people, these unsuspecting passengers. And what you're referring to about asking to see if it's a real Uber is a lot of people walk up to a car, right, and they go, hey, you're here for Jeff, right? And they're like, yeah, and you get in. And if it's a fake driver, you're going to walk up and say that, and you're giving them the answer.
Right.
You're saying, here's my name, and they're just saying, yeah. Instead, you should walk up and say, hey, who are you here for? Make them say your name. If they don't, it's a fake driver.
Well, you posed as an Uber driver, and I want to say 9 out of 10 people opened the door and they said their name. Or
yeah,
just got in the car.
In true Rawson Report style, we go over the line, and I literally rented a Toyota Camry, which is like a pretty traditional Uber X, right?
Sure.
And what these fake Uber drivers do is, on their home printers, they print out an Uber logo,
right,
or something that looks like an Uber logo, and they tape it to the windshield. We did the same thing. We printed out what looked to be like a regular Uber logo, put it on the windshield, and just parked outside in Los Angeles in front of bars and restaurants. All of these people, like you said, probably 9 out of 10, just got into our car, no questions asked, closed the door, and just barked out where they're going. Hey, how are you? We're going here. So we're talking about women. We're talking about men,
yep,
alone, in groups, all of it. And when I told them who I was, I mean, after the awkward laugh stopped, the sobering reality set in where, you know, this one woman was like, you could rape me. Another woman said, you know, I said if I had a gun and I locked the door, she said I'd be done.
Right.
So it's really an important story that impacts all of us. And there are very, very simple tips if you'd like me to read them through.
I was just going to say, yes,
please. I obviously need them. I've been doing this all wrong.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been doing it all wrong. No blame here. I've been doing it wrong, too, until this. So what you want to do is, first of all, on the Uber app, right, always match up the license plate to the license plate on the car. So before I ever get into any Uber and the car is pulling up, I have my app out, you know, because you're looking at where they are anyway on the little map.
Yeah.
And when they're going to pull up. Look at the license plate on the, I think it's the bottom right or the bottom left of your app, depending on the update you have. And it's going to give you the license plate number. Read the license plate off the car to make sure it's the same thing. Make sure it's the right make and model. They give you a picture of the Uber driver. There's a picture of every single driver. Is the guy behind the wheel, does it look the same as the guy who's actually in the app? Then when you open the door to the back seat, don't get in, lean in and say, hey, who are you here for? Make them say your name.
Right.
Never give anything away. And only then do you get in.
I never look at the license plate number, but I do look at the make and model of the car. because if you're leaving a sporting event,
here's the thing. Look what I did. I got a Toyota Camry.
You did, which is very, very common.
I could have taken you, Pete. I could have taken you.
Kidnapped me. I don't know if you want that. We're talking to Jeff Ross.
And your wife's like, take him. It's fine.
Well, I immediately sent the video because it's on today.com. I sent it to my wife. And I said, Sarah, you need to look at this because you take Ubers everywhere. You need to ask. You open the door and have the driver say your name. She's like, I never do that. I go, you need to. Everybody needs to. You need to pay attention to things like that. Now,
yeah, it's so important. And this is not just us making it up. I'm telling you, there are cases across the country of people really getting hurt.
Sure.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead, Olive.
Do you not think that it's sufficient to make sure that the license plates match up?
Well, here's the thing. Why not use every piece of information you have? Yeah, the license plates, very, very good. That's probably the top thing to do. So, yes, I'd say you're pretty safe if the license plates match up. That would be a pretty crazy coincidence. But why not also just look at the guy's name and just ask who he's here for? Why not?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Use all the information. Out of all the stories that you've done, the Rawson reports, what do you get the most feedback on?
It's stories like this where we take an issue that would probably be a little dry, right? Like me, like picture me wagging my finger at you saying, you need to ask for the name,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we turn it into something visual to say, oh, yeah, I guess I would do that, where we can demonstrate something happening in the real world that we're sitting and telling you about. My philosophy has always been, and if you watch the show, you know, don't tell me things, show me things. That's how I was as a kid, and that's how I am as an adult, and it's what I react to. So I like to show things.
Well, you did a story. I bring this up because I talk to my wife about this all the time. Again, my wife never listens to me or pays attention to me like most married couples, but you did a story on sunscreen, and you said that anything over 50 SPF doesn't work. It's fake. Everything under 50 will work. And my wife buys the 90 or 100. I'm like, you're just wasting your money because it's high-end stuff.
Yeah, it's not so much that it's fake. It's just it's not doing anything better for you. SPF 100, according to experts, is not doing anything more than SPF 50. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the prices, you're oftentimes paying more for the higher SPF. It's all marketing. We all do basic math, right? You're thinking to yourself, if I buy SPF 100, it's probably twice as good as SPF 50, but that's not the case. I mean, it's not making any difference whatsoever. So what I say is get the SPF 50. That's giving you basically maximum protection of an SPF. Don't buy above that. It's a waste of your money.
What are you working on next? Do people give you suggestions? Because you did germs in the workplace, which I loved, because people are always worried about germs. What are you working on right now?
See, if I tell you what I'm working on, all my competitors who listen to you, because
yes.
Everyone listens to you,
right?
I'm gonna watch this on CBS tomorrow.
I mean, you've done the hacking thing. You've talked about Facebook. What was the one? Texting and walking. You should stop.
Yeah.
I mean, because people aren't paying attention, they're walking into traffic.
So we did a funny little demo, and I actually tested my parents on this, and my father, I think, failed miserably,
mm-hmm.
where we basically just told people, hey, I want you to text me something and walk from here to there. And we told them, because we didn't want them to pay extra attention to how they were walking. We wanted to make it as legit as possible. So we told them, hey, we're actually testing how well you text, how accurate you are. While you walk. So these people are walking, and they're walking like sideways. They're not checking the roadway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one person almost walked right into the bushes, walked up a curb. So and people are hurt every single year. It was based off a new study where there are thousands of people killed every year, pedestrians. You know, a lot of it's from this expert, say. So we did that. But I will tell you right now, we have a really cool story airing on Wednesday morning on the Today Show. A new Rawson reports about the future of delivery. It's about drone delivery. You know, Amazon's trying to do it, UPS is trying to do it, Google's trying to do it, but we link up with a few engineers, and you're getting the exclusive on this because I haven't told anybody about this.
I love it.
We linked up with some engineers who built this drone that can deliver packages right to your house 100 miles away. And it's basically program it like you would a commercial airplane. It flies there to the GPS coordinates. It drops the package out of the drone with a little parachute, and it lands right on your doorstep. We tested it, and it's insane.
Well,
when you see it.
How does this work?
How we're going to deliver packages.
Well, how does this work? Because I have a covered doorstep. So you walk up some steps, and it's covered. You got the light, and then you walk in the front door. How do they do like a zoom in and drop it?
No, you're screwed.
It's going to end up in, it's going to end up on my steps or in my front yard.
You're going to have some very happy neighbors. That's
and another thing, Jeff, how do they do this with the FAA? There's going to be thousands of drones in the air. How is this going
to
happen?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So the answer to that is that they're going to have to ultimately file flight plans just like general aviation would, and just like they're going to talk, they're going to fly it at altitudes and where they deal with the FAA in either unclassified airspace where Cessnas and small planes are flying anyway without talking to air traffic control, or they're going to file flight plans with the FAA and fly around as commercial aircraft do and don't get into any trouble. So these will be filed flight plans going from destination A to destination B and then back again.
I don't know if I want drones flying in my neighborhood and buzzing around, bugging me. I don't know if I want that.
Robots are going to run the world anyway, so we're going to have to get on board.
I mean, that's going to drive me crazy. And you mentioned that you're going to be on the Today Show Wednesday with this report. Sometimes you stick around and do Lester's show in the afternoon, the nightly news. So do you hang out at work the entire day?
Yeah, Lester and I braid each other's hair. I mean, it's crazy up here on the fourth floor.
Do you go home and come back? I'm just curious. This is how my brain works.
No, that's what everyone always asks. Here's the thing. After the Today Show, my workday actually begins because this stuff, you know, we have to look at news story ideas. I have a whole team that works with me, and we're all pitching stories all the time, looking through blogs and Twitter and figuring out what the latest crazes are, calling companies, see if they'll work with us, doing investigations into companies and busting the people that deserve to be busted. So that's when the real workday begins, or I have to fly somewhere and go shoot a story, or I'm in editing, or I'm writing. So after the show is sort of, the show is the fun, you know, the fun part for about 5 minutes, and then you get back to the grind just like we all do. It's sort of like with your show. I'm sure there's very little prep work involved in yours.
There's absolutely none, especially today. Yes.
But in general, we all have to prep, so that's what we do after the show.
So you're hanging out the entire time, and then you just go on the set when Lester calls on you.
Yeah, when Lester screams or snaps his fingers at me, and I run, and that's how it works.
I was always curious about that, because hurricane season, Al was sticking around, and he was doing, you know, 5:45 our time, so that's a long time for him to hang out. I worry about
Al Roker is like the hardest working guy, because for a while he was also doing the Weather Channel at like 4 a.m.
Right.
So he was getting up at like 2 and like working the, like, he is the most, after all of these years, one of the hardest working people in the building. And so is Lester.
Gosh, man, that's great stuff. I'm trying to think, now that I have you on the phone, is there a story that we need to pitch, Jeff, for the Today Show, for Rossin Reports?
Hey, if you have something where I can get to Chicago, you have my email address. You tell me what it is, and I'll even come by while I'm there, while we're shooting it. But anything that your viewers think need to be investigated, anything that is interesting to them, any new craze, anything they think is dangerous, anything.
Elif has one.
You can actually tweet me as well, at Jeff Rossin.
Okay, Elif.
So you can do it there as well.
You have one for Jeff?
Yeah, your conversation about the drones and package deliveries inspired this idea. Well, this concern more so than an idea. And it's that packages get tampered with by thieves when they're dropped at your doorstep and left there.
I have done this story.
He's done it.
I did it.
Yep.
They're called porch pirates. We've done the story. We have all the surveillance video of people doing it. And we actually highlighted a police department. I want to say in California. I forget where that was. Yeah, I believe it was California. This police department's figured out a way where they had a big problem of porch pirates, you know, basically packages delivered during the day. They know people are out at work, so they go around and they grab the packages. Where they've been they put dummy packages on people's doorsteps with GPS in them. So if they're stolen, they're able to go literally arrest the people, and it's been working.
Very good.
So it's been a really cool deterrent.
I like that. I'm trying to think of my pet peeves. People walking into the elevator before I get off, that's not really a report. I'll think of something.
My wife has one. My wife hates when people take the elevator to the second floor.
Sometimes you don't know where the stairs are.
It drives her crazy in our apartment building. She's like, what? She's like, people like get in the elevator and like we have to hold the elevator for them and they run in and then they hit 2. You're like, come on.
Yeah, that would drive me nuts too. Rossin Reports Wednesday. He's got a brand new one. You can go to today.com. All of those reports on there. Jeff, great to talk to you, man. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon, my friend.
All right. See you, buddy.